From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Today, our spotlight is on Professor Diane Orlovsky, who has served Troy University as Director of University Choirs. She joins us by Skype from her office to reminisce about Carnegie Hall and the impact of choral music on her students and audiences. Professor Diane Orlovsky, thank you so much for joining us by Skype from your office in Troy at the university.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Carolyn.
One of the things I have so enjoyed through the years is talking with you about choral music. You directed my life in that direction, and I have found that choral music has a place that is filled by no other type of music. You have devoted your career to this.
You know, I'm glad to hear you put it that way, because I do think choral music gives voice to many of the things that we feel that a lot of people are not able to express, really. I have found great comfort in choral music and solace, encouragement, exaltation. I mean, just about every emotion that a human can feel, I think that I've experienced through choral music.
Last month, on April 10th, the Troy University Concert Chorale had a really special concert. Fill us in on how that concert went and what it meant in your life.
I think I had to go back about a year when I was contemplating putting this event together. I usually curate a concert about a year in advance. I'll make little folders on my desktop and I'll slide things in that I hear that I think, you know, that might be good for that concert. And we had just come through, of course, the 2 years of COVID and all of the hardship that the singers particularly had to experience during that time. And then also last year, I had walked the path that so many, many people walk with loss of people that they were close to. So I found myself gravitating to things that were hopeful and full of life and renewal and exaltation. And so I decided on the theme of renewal. It fell together so effortlessly, the songs that I chose. I wanted it to not be a goodbye as I am stepping off the podium, and this would have been my last concert, but I wanted it to be a signal of the past has been beautiful, the present we should be grateful for, but the future is something to be anticipated.
I want to quote from your prelude, the notes. You said, "I programmed pieces which accentuate hope over despair, life over death, with the power that only choral music can fully communicate."
Yeah. And when you combine voices and you give up a certain amount of personal identity, individual identity to do that, and you are trying to, for the good of the whole, to blend and balance, and something happens. It's kind of a visceral thing. It's all these people of disparate backgrounds all come together with a common purpose, and that's to do honor to the music on the page. And I had programmed, it was so wonderful to be able to program my good friend Eric Barnum's works again on the piece. And he was, of course, we've talked through the years, pivotal with a kind of a renaissance for me of choral music. It was just a joyful, it was bittersweet, of course, but it was a joyful thing that these college students were able to participate in. You saw that they were moved. Many of them were in tears through smiles, and it was extraordinarily special. I also invited back guest conductors, former students who are now conducting in their own right and teaching and reaching many, many people. And as sort of a symbol of what I've done here in my time and what I will continue to do, and that's try to raise up future choral conductors.
This month in 2018, you and the Troy University Concert Chorale were getting ready for a special debut in New York. What was that?
Actually, we were invited by my friend Eric Barnum, he is director of choirs at Drake University, to participate in a premiere, a world premiere of his pieces, Thousand Red Birds. And we also had the opportunity to perform a piece that he had written for us, we had commissioned, called Evensong at Carnegie Hall. And he, unbeknownst to anyone else, that text was chosen in anticipation of the time that I would decide to step down. so here it is a few years later, and I have actually reached that point. And so it was just an incredible experience to sing there. It was an incredible experience to sing under his leadership. It's sort of a full circle moment for us.
When we think of all that you have done since 1986, when you joined the faculty of Troy University, you have touched lives, and we're talking about touching lives not only of students, but audience members at these concerts. You have served as professor of music and director of choirs at Troy University. I am excited about your next phase. You are becoming a performer again, and you'll be writing a book.
That's right. I, through this past year, rediscovered a few things. Isn't that funny? I have reinvented myself a lot during my 36 years at Troy, and that reinvention always makes me feel rejuvenated. And so I began to spend a little bit more time at the keyboard again. I'm a pianist. I had the opportunity to actually play in a couple of recitals this year, and it was a toe in the water, if you will. I hadn't played in front of an audience in I don't even know how long. It reminded me why I started music to begin with. All those years ago when my mother bought a secondhand piano and put me on it, you know, at age 6. And so that was a full cycle moment, particularly since I had lost my mother this past December. And then, of course, I've been deeply immersed in a project for the last 8 years, and I've got close to being able to finish a book, and that's important to me as well for my own scholarship. So I'll be able to teach part-time at Troy and then to hopefully be able to do these other very, very fulfilling things.
Diane, you have won a number of awards. You're well known as a clinician, a conductor, adjudicator, researcher. What drew you to choral music and showcasing the human voice?
You know, I sang as a youngster. I had a big voice, didn't quite know what to do with it. So it kind of gravitated into choir. I mean, I knew I wanted to be a teacher. And then someone said, well, what about music? And so I won a piano competition. And so I had my first year paid for at school because of this competition. I thought, well, maybe there's something to it. I'll go and I'll try it for a year. I got a chance to work as a pianist under my conductor, my dear mentor, David Mattson, who recently passed as well. And I think I was hooked because of his leadership, because of his vitality on the podium. It was just an amazing experience, and so I want to do that. And that just shows me the power of a mentor, because it changed the trajectory of my life.
You are well known for starting a jazz ensemble, Frequency, which has gone on to great things. How is Frequency doing?
It's great. Right before COVID, I had a colleague who came here who had been a member of Frequency in its very first year in 2009. So I handed my baby over to him, and my gosh, he has taken them in such exciting directions. I actually got to sing with them on a concert. I'm so proud of the continuation of that legacy and all of the wonderful things that he has planned for them.
Well, the lives that you have touched are better for your presence. And I want to thank you for your time today by Skype on Troy Public Radio.
Thank you, Arielyn. All the best.
Joining us by Skype was Professor Diane Orlovsky, whose career is transitioning from director of Troy University choirs to performer and author of a forthcoming second book about her research on the learning theory of psychologist Jerome Bruner. More information about the university's John M. Long School of Music can be found at the website troy.today. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is now a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.